Okay, GarageBand is going. We are also going to record Zoom.
Recording in progress.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey Dave.
Hi.
Welcome to this half-assed late night. I'm doing the recording, so this will probably end in tragedy. Episode of Scotch Boarding, and we're already very depressed about it, aren't we?
Yes. And all of your descriptors are how I do everything in life, so why not this as well?
Mark, how are you feeling at this exact moment?
Oh, it's hard to put into words. I've like literally just been. Actually, I spent the last half hour arguing in a chat group, a baseball chat group, how everyone's going after Atkins and Schneider and how they need to go. I'm like, why isn't anyone talking about the hitting coach?
Okay, so, well, I mean, let's start with that. Well, first, like, let's say we are Torontonians. And we are currently mourning the loss of the Blue Jays in the playoffs. They made it to the wild card round. It was a three-game series. They lost two in a row. And managing is a huge talking point. So, Mark, are you arguing that the blame shouldn't be on Atkins and Schneider, or the blame should also be on the hitting coach?
It should be more on the hitting coach. At the end of the day, the Jays gave up, five runs in two games? That's just enough to win a game.
Yeah.
All this talk about, oh, did they take up Bruce early? It didn't matter. They didn't score any runs.
Yeah, I have my dad in my head who is sports fanatic, and I grew up with him watching Jays games, watching football games, whatever. And one of the things he used to say was like, you know, if the Blue Jays lost 10-7, which they used to back in the day, it was 7 runs should win you a ball game. And the same with football, like 21 points should win you a football game if you have a good defense. And with this, the Blue Jays gave up a total of
Five
five
runs
runs. That
in
should
three innings. Five runs in three innings of work.
that
The rest
should,
of,
sorry, go ahead.
18 innings of work and give runs in only three innings for a total of five runs.
18 innings of work with 5 runs, that's 2.5 runs a ball game.
Yeah.
Giving up 2.5 runs in a game should win you the game.
Should.
Yes.
But it didn't.
Because there are people who are getting hits, and the Jays out hit the Twins tonight, but not a single hit was done in a clutch moment.
But they, and to Mark's point, the name of the hitting coach again?
Guillermo Martinez.
Has been the same hitting coach since 2018.
Yes.
It's basically, isn't that when Vlad joined the majors?
I think it was the year after, but his first full year was in 2021. And that's when he had the almost triple crown, the MVP year. 48 home runs, OPS over 1,000.
That was only 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago.
That
Now,
seems like forever.
and you know who was with the club at the time helping the hitting coach?
Don Mattingly?
Dante Bichette, Bo's
Oh.
father, who left after that season.
Interesting.
So it's Dante Bichette's fault.
Because he left. He should have stayed.
Well, so Dave and I were like at the beginning of this season, it might have been last season, we're talking about like Pete Walker's job is on the line. I don't think it is.
No,
No.
not a chance. The pitching was way stronger.
The Blue Jays, I believe, and Mark, I'm sure you have the exact stat in your brain, have a record or like pitchers that have pitched the most games in the most innings.
I think all of their starters hit 200 innings.
No,
Except
four of
Ryu.
their five stars hit 30 starts.
And the other two were Ryu slash Manoah,
Manoah,
right?
yeah.
Who were injured slash just died,
Broke their brain.
broken
Yeah.
mentally. And this isn't, it's 2 years in a row. I believe they've had a very similar statistic. So it's not the pitching.
No.
And that's the thing with Atkins. You can't blame him for the hitting if you can't give him credit for the pitching because he assembled this pitching
That's
staff.
true. It's a
And
great point.
I will apologize. I do not have the capacity to record this podcast, host this podcast, and also mute every time I cough. We haven't been posting for 2 weeks because I have been suffering from pneumonia, double pneumonia, NBD, in both lungs. I am fine, but I'm coughing. I described it to my friend the other day. I am very aware of my lungs right now. I can feel them. I can feel my esophagus and I can feel my lungs. All that is to say, I'm going to cough and I'm too lazy to mute myself every time.
I'm very aware of my ears right now.
Why are you aware of your ears right now?
They're warm.
Okay. Weird diabetes thing, which Dave has.
Is that what that is?
A little bit. His extremities, so his toes and his fingers, are always freezing cold, but his ears are boiling lava hot most of the time.
The ears have nothing to do with diabetes. The hands and feet do.
But the hot ears, is it not related?
I don't know. I've never read about hot ears as a side effect of type 1 diabetes.
Google it. Okay, so on paper, though, the batting should be good.
Yeah.
Yes.
It should. So I agree. I don't think, I don't know if his job is on the line, but Ross Atkins' job shouldn't be on the line.
No.
Because he assembled a team along with Mark Shapiro, who on paper should be really, really fucking good.
And last year, what did we say that the team needed? A deep bullpen. What did he get us this year? A deep bullpen.
Deep bullpen. And what happened?
Couldn't get a hit.
And the bullpen held. Starting pitcher rotation held. Hitting.
So what's the change?
The hitting coach. And bring back Dante. Pay him as much as he needs to be paid.
It'll be the manager too.
Yeah, so Mark, you don't think Schneider should... Do you think Schneider should lose his job, or you just think the blame is shared?
The blame is shared, but Schneider's only been there for a year and a half. He's technically gotten him to the playoffs in both his years.
True.
I agree with Mark that the blame is shared, but I think Schneider will have a target on him for this, and he might end up being a fall guy, because I don't think changing the batting coach is enough to change the mindset.
No, you're right, because he's the most visible person.
Exactly.
But so's Walker. You never see the hitting coach.
Because he's hiding.
Because he knows.
What
he's
is
shit.
I think I said this at the beginning. Did Mattingly join this year or last year? Last year?
This year.
What is the point of having Don fucking Mattingly if the intention is not to have him manage the team?
He's supposed to, like, help.
And that's... I always thought he was the, like... He's actually the guy calling the shots. He's the guy they want to manage the team. And the second Schneider fucks up, or it's been long enough, they're just going to slide Don Mattingly in there. Because I didn't
understand. Yeah, but don't forget, Schneider is Atkins and Shapiro's guy.
That's like Sheldon Keefe with Kyle Dubas.
Yeah.
Baby Dubas. So... Okay, I'm going to get to my... Hold on. It was always going to be a wing at Wednesday, and then we all got sad, and then Chris and Tyler can't be here for various legitimate reasons / illegitimate reasons.
If
they listen back to this. I won't name names, but one of them is questionable. Okay, so first question in no particular order. Especially Mark, you being a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. And the point of this podcast was to kind of look above the scoreboard and more to the stories. The Twins hadn't won a playoff game since 2005?
Four.
2004. And them winning that game yesterday, I felt that for Twins fans. And the elation when they won today, there was a little part of me that was like, okay, you go, girl. Is there any empathy? I'm looking at Dave shaking his head. Mark, as a Leafs fan and knowing what the monkey off on your back is like and knowing with this season what it was like getting it off, is there any part of you that is slightly understanding of Minnesota Twins fans?
Slightly. I'd be more open to it if it was against another team.
If the Twins won against, they faced off against the Rays. Or who did the Rays get swept by? Texas?
Texas.
Texas.
If the Twins won against Texas. But is there not a little part of you, like, maybe that's me being optimistic and empathetic in the silver lining. I'm like, at least it's not a shitty fan base. And at least it's a fan base that's been toiling almost as long as Jays fans were before 2015. Dave, no?
No, much longer. That's worse.
Yeah, I appreciate the release of that pressure, but it does nothing towards my overall mental capacity right now.
So you're sad.
I'm disappointed, but I'm complacent. Because I don't think I was expecting much. But I'm still disappointed that they didn't surprise.
So, and why weren't you expecting much?
Because the team's not good enough.
And what in your mind made them not good enough?
They couldn't beat the team they were playing, so they weren't good enough.
But the hitting's been inconsistent all year.
That's true.
You've seen this going
into this. I don't know if there are statistics on this, but Dave, you played dodgeball.
I have played dodgeball
on a very high level.
I've played a high level of dodgeball.
I played dodgeball on not as high level, but athlete to athlete. Whenever I had a bad game, I trusted my team to pick me up. I think you did. You must have done the same as well.
Yes.
It's a team sport. You trust the team to pick you up.
I was never the best to begin with.
But occasionally there were times where I was like, none of us have our A game. And I've heard that about pitching, like, you can't be mad when a pitcher has a bad start, because in an insanely long season, you can't expect them to bring their best every single game. And it just really sucked when I was playing, and I don't know if you felt the same, when you were having a bad game and you looked at your teammates and everyone was in the same funk. The Blue Jays, I feel like if one of them is off, the whole team's off. And I don't know if there's a statistic to prove that.
And baseball is a sport where one person can't do it. You need a team to do it.
And I don't know if there's a statistic to prove that. But the last couple games going into this season, especially how they limped into the playoffs, these last two games, I was like, everybody is off their game. Is there anything to that? Did you guys witness or feel the same thing?
I don't think any one person, definitely no single batter, I'm not sure any player, went into the playoffs with any form of momentum.
But it's not like two or three of them were hitting well.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a single player had statistical momentum going into the playoffs.
And I don't know if that's provable. I don't know if that's unique to the Blue Jays. That I would say within these last 2 weeks, they were all off. No one was firing correctly. It's not like Merrifield was lighting it up as everyone else was on a 0-for-21 streak or whatever. They were all dog shit as hitters. So it just, you trust your teammates to lift you up, and it's got to be disheartening of like, okay, I'm doing terribly. Oh, fuck, you're also doing terribly. We're screwed.
And that's where I think Schneider is responsible, because that clubhouse is his responsibility.
So talk to me, Schneider. Like, the big thing I feel like we're going to analyze until the end of time is the barriers to Kikuchi switch.
That is completely irrelevant if the Jays score zero runs.
That's what I'm saying. It's a moot point.
We could debate it for the entire hour of the podcast, but at the end of the day, if you score zero runs, you could have a pitcher who pitches 15 innings of one run and lose.
Would you guys have pulled Berrios?
Personally, I would not have, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Mark, same thing?
Same thing.
And Kikuchi doesn't own any of this?
No.
Either?
No.
Kikuchi's, the earned run and the inherited run that scored are completely washed away because the Jays didn't score a run. If the Jays scored one and Kikuchi had given up those two, sure, then you can start to talk about it. But the Jays at no point had a chance to win that game.
So is it not worth even pretending the Jays scored a run? And what would have been?
What would we achieve by doing that?
A curiosity to a managerial decision.
It's a scenario that just, it wasn't viable because it just wasn't there.
If they lose 3-2, then yeah, we'll debate it.
Sure.
What about a momentum shift?
What do you mean?
You're a hitter. You're playing for a pitcher who's fucking humming along. They pull him and a pitcher comes in and immediately gives up two runs.
That doesn't affect how you go into your bat, though.
The batter still didn't do enough to make any of the pitchers win.
And I guess the Twins pulled their pitcher pretty soon after. You know, Sonny Gray was gone, I think, the next inning or the inning after.
Sonny Gray's pitch count was a bit higher, and I think they were saying he's only hit 100 pitches twice in a season.
I was, and I think I still am, supportive of the decision, because as Dave and I talked about while we were watching the game, Kikuchi is a lefty. And Baldelli had submitted a lineup that had a lot of lefties in it against the right-handed Berrios. And that oh shit of putting him in the first or not first, the second or third inning was like, oh hell yeah, what a chess move. And I feel like he almost waited too long to do it then.
No, because he had to go through the lineup at least once. You just can't pull him.
Yeah. I guess to me that like gotcha bitch was like really enticing of like you set your lineup thinking you were facing Berrios. Just kidding. Here's Kikuchi.
I love the strategic move of replacing your starter with Kikuchi, and that being a strategy. But it doesn't matter if you bring Kikuchi in the second, third, or seventh. You still didn't score any runs.
Well, yeah. I want to defend that decision. I just feel like it could have been made earlier. Because the Blue Jays, as we just talked about, have an incredible starting rotation. And picking those three pitchers to start this game, you could have picked between any of those five. And I appreciate the Gausman for game one. I think that was a very smart decision. When I saw Kikuchi warming up, it was like, oh, hell yeah. Nice misdirect. You know, it's the Rays with the starter. It's
opener.
You thought you were facing this guy.
Yeah.
You're facing one of our other incredible starting pitchers.
And now all of your lefties, you have to make a decision if you want to keep them in a mismatch or if you want to replace them.
So for me, I love that move.
Yeah.
I might have made it earlier.
If this was a 5-4 game, like we could debate the timing altogether. But if the Jays don't score a run, it doesn't matter what inning they were playing.
Well,
but
Mark,
I agree with you. I love the move.
Mark, you had defended the move too in our in our text of Berrios two times through the lineup. His numbers drop off significantly.
Especially third time around. Third time around is when he gets really hit hard.
And those are those deep analytics that it's like, no, this is a smart move. Especially when you have someone like Kikuchi. Like, you're not throwing in Nate Peterson or Trevor Richards. You're throwing in one of your other incredible starters who there was already talk about stretching him into your long man. I like that move. I just, perhaps poorly timed. Okay, my next question, again, in no particular order. A friend messaged... I wish the Blue Jays didn't even make the playoffs. This is too disappointing. Knowing the outcome that we do now, would you go back 2 weeks and have them miss the playoffs?
No.
No.
And why?
Because there's still a buzz that was in the air. Being let down or disappointed or angry or sad or whatever, you still got to live that buzz for a couple days.
Mark?
Making the playoffs in baseball is harder than all the other sports, minus football.
So, yes.
So, to get there is an achievement.
And Tyler and Chris also sent a very similar question that we can now debate. The Blue Jays celebrated making the playoffs. And we all know, officially, they made the playoffs by someone else losing. And that's just, their magic number was one, and that one happened to be on a loss rather than a Blue Jays win. Do you think they should have celebrated, and would you guys have celebrated? David.
I would have celebrated because you put yourself in a position where the other team had to basically win out. So in that specific game, yes, you lost and someone else lost, but you achieved the position where you could still celebrate that.
Mark?
Well, I mean, I would celebrate as well. Not exactly for the same reasons they put it, but those are very good reasons. I think the problem with, especially people in Toronto, is that we come from a hockey mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And in hockey, half the league make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't celebrate making the playoffs. Whereas in baseball, 12 of the 30 teams, less than half, make the playoffs.
It's also...
And what you said in the text, I mean, it's a long season,
mm-hmm.
162 games. You grind for 6 months, and then you finally get to the playoffs. Where you literally, anyone can win.
Yeah, it's double the hockey season. It's a marathon to me, because you know I love shitty metaphors. It's running a marathon and then being asked to do a sprint. You need to celebrate finishing that marathon, because not everyone does. And it's a huge accomplishment to at least make it across the finish line. If you have another 100 yards in you, that's awesome. If you don't, it's still incredible that you made it across that finish line in the first place. But would you have celebrated with the beer, with the goggles, with the picture?
That's baseball.
Yeah. I agree.
It's tradition.
I think it also helped that they were at home at the time.
Yeah.
It's probably easier to celebrate it in your home confines than kind of winning that way would be on the road. They still would have, but I think this was... allowed them to relax a little bit more.
I guess at the end of the day, like, they, even though it ended, quote unquote, with someone else losing, they still controlled their own destiny.
Yes.
They won the amount of games they needed to get them in. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, next question. If it had been Tampa Bay, do you guys think there would be a different outcome? Because all of us, including Mark Bunn up until a week ago, was happier for the Minnesota Twins versus the Tampa Bay Rays. How do we feel the outcome would have been had they faced the Rays? Personally, I think the same.
No.
Not on stats at all, mostly just... as a fan, watching how the Jays have played within their division, I was nervous about them playing a team that historically they haven't done particularly well against.
Mark, but they won the season series against them this year.
That's
and took
true.
2 out of 3 in Tampa the week before, beating their best pitcher, Glasnow, on top of that.
And Tampa also limped into the playoffs, obviously. They yeah, had exactly the same outcome.
Their team is, like, injured. And their pitcher rotation only... actually, none of them were from the beginning.
So you...
Glasnow didn't start the year there because he was hurt. Eflin missed some time. And then Seville was acquired in trade.
So different outcome, you think, had they faced the Rays?
Did you see Texas beat the shit out of them? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
I think it would have gone to a third game, so we can call that a different result. I don't know. My issue is the same, is that I think it doesn't matter whether it's the Rays or the Twins... the Jays were going to be outcoached in either of those scenarios.
Just speaking of coaches, if I can give a moment, shout out to Rocco Baldelli. We're all the same. We're all of a very similar age. I know without Chris here, Mark Bunn, you're slightly older than us.
Mm-hmm.
We all grew up in the same era. We grew up with Rocco Baldelli as this, like, the next coming.
Uber prospect.
Of Jesus, this uber prospect. But he had all five tools. He was incredible in the flashes where he was playing, but he was constantly hurt, mostly by, like, bizarre flukes. Sometimes it was just his body, really the Troy Tulowitzki of that era. I'm happy to see him in the game still and successful in the capacity that he is. I'm really sad that it was against the Jays. But, like, I'm happy for Rocco Baldelli. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. I agree.
I thought the jinx was Paul Molitor being there, obviously, supporting the Twins. And, as I texted in our group, didn't tell Dave, Our child yesterday was dressed in a Minnesota t-shirt. So, as you know, Dave and me, legally by marriage, are Minnesota Vikings fans. And Rowan obviously has his own Minnesota Vikings gear. Our caregiver will, like, pack extra clothes because Rowan's disgusting. And we sent him off yesterday morning in one outfit, and then we get pictures in the afternoon of him in his school t-shirt. And I was like, oh, that can't be a good omen. And so I blame him and I blame the nanny. And so this morning I told her about it and she said, what are you talking about? And I grabbed his jay and she's like, she was more concerned that baseball was still happening. She didn't understand that it was still going yeah. on. She was like, how long is this season? Why is it still happening? And so I pulled out his Jays hat and I stuck it on his head and I said, he is wearing this today. But then we got pictures in the afternoon and the hat was off, so maybe it's her fault again.
It was on all morning, though.
That's true. But the game wasn't in the morning, was it?
No. No, it wasn't.
Okay, next question. Was the game mismanaged?
I don't think this specific game was mismanaged, but I just think that the Twins were better managed.
Go on. So we get, like, we don't want to talk about the Kikuchi Berrios, but we can talk about there were some hitting changes that they made. Some lineup changes of pulling Kiermaier, Aldo Espinal had two hits, like, maybe some bullpen changes. But I feel like Baldelli didn't do anything. So do you think the game was mismanaged?
I have things in the game that I may have done differently in all of my experience of coaching baseball.
Of course.
I don't think it was mismanaged. I just think the other team did a better job of managing.
Mark?
I mean, there are points where you can maybe say it was mismanaged, but again, for a guy who's only been coached for a year and a half, you should expect those kind of little mistakes, but they ultimately didn't cause the team to lose. It was lack of hitting.
Money on the line. Is John Schneider in a Blue Jays uniform at the start of next year?
I don't think so.
I say yes. It's way too small to emphasize. Unless they can get someone who has a proven track record,
Don
which no one does.
Mattingly.
What's he done? He's done nothing as a coach.
He was okay. Yeah. What was his record with the Dodgers?
He was with Florida for a while too.
He was with Miami and didn't make the playoffs at all.
That's true. But it's sideburns. So what gives between this year and next year? Because it's hard, and that's why I'm forcing it on you guys, and I'm going to talk to give you guys time to think. On paper, they have an incredible team. So I almost want to be like, well, nothing gives. It's just, okay, now they have another year of experience. Take the exact same product, the exact same team, re-sign everybody, and shove them back out on the field. I feel like it's like the Leafs with why would you blow up that core? They just need another year. And look at what happened with the Leafs this year versus previous years. They've now started to have that success that everyone's been predicting. So I
here's
don't...
The other...
Oh,
here's
sorry.
The other thing, though. With the whole... Like, we talk about Paul Walker as being some pitching wizard, which he is. We'll take any sort of project, and then he'll turn him into a great star. Like, Gausman, Bassett. The years before that, we had... who's it last year? Stripling. Who's now... Like, nowhere near what he was last year, this year. And we give all the credit to Paul Walker, P. Walker. So why aren't we blaming the hitting coach for the poor hitting that we now see for the last 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I also give a lot of credit to Paul Walker. I heard you correct yourself there, but I also yep. gave him a lot of credit for launching the Fast franchise. So he gets credit too.
R.I.P.
I just need to R.I.P. I just need to make sure that both walkers are being appreciated tonight.
I just, yes. Because obviously I don't want to, like, what's the word when someone becomes a saint?
Murderize?
No.
Murder.
There's a word for it. Anyways, Catholics are screaming right now. I just need to publicly state on the record, Paul Walker was a terrible actor. And that's all I need to say. I understand his contribution to the Fast and the Furious franchise.
That's all you need to understand.
But he's become this, like, saint, patron saint of movies in his death. And I just need to reiterate, he was very bad at acting.
But I appreciate him.
Real Vin Diesel level acting. So any changes beyond swapping the hitting coach? Any players you guys would sub out? And you don't need to say who you would sub out for. Are there any pieces that you would bring in? Let's say position players first.
I have three people that I don't see in the starting lineup next year.
Go on.
I think Kiermaier is gone. I think Chapman.
Are you thinking putting himself out of contract, or
sorry,
like he'll be too expensive? It sounds like he wants to stay, but
yeah,
if he's getting like money somewhere else, he's going to chase the money.
I think he said he wanted natural grass, but whatever. I think the Jays' strategy this year of emphasizing defense didn't work, and so I think some of those guys who maybe. A little bit higher on the defensive side versus the batting consistency side, like a Kiermaier, like a
Chapman. I was going to say, you can say his name, you can say Dalton Varsho.
Like, but I think Varsho has potential to be better, but I think Kiermaier and Chapman will be gone because of that.
Well, Chapman's up for contract, so he's
top company. But I don't think he'll re-sign. I think with Davis Schneider in the wings, you'll free up third or second. And I think you have solid outfield. Like, I think if Varsho plays center next year, and you have Springer and Biggio in the outfield.
Biggio?
I think Biggio at the end of the year earned himself a spot next year.
Oh, sorry. For some reason, I went to Bichette. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm sick of him throwing on the run.
Biggio makes much more sense. Although, he seems so tiny, but he isn't.
But I think, so those will be kind of the guys that go.
Yeah.
But I think that you're right, Mark. Like, the big news is going to be the hitting coach. That's going to be, they need a splashy hire. Something there. And then I think... And you disagree, but I think Schneider will also take part of the fall. And I agree with Tay that I think it'll just be Don Mattingly that slips in there.
I think he's going to take the fall. My argument isn't... I think Mark's argument especially is it isn't his fault. I think it's just one of those coaching things.
No, exactly. I don't think it's his fault. I think it's a shared fault, but I think he is part of that target because of it.
So just comparative stats, Dalton Varsho versus Teoscar Hernandez, because the emphasis this year was on defense, and part of the reason for the switch between Varsho and Teoscar was Teoscar was a bit of a dumpster fire in the outfield, and Varsho you could trust to make that play. Their numbers weren't crazy different. Teoscar had 258 average of 26 home runs, 93 RBIs, and 161 hits overall. Varsho had a lower average at 226, almost close to the same home runs with 20, 61 RBIs, again, very close, and significantly less hits, so that's so probably he was the difference.
Less in every category.
He was less in every category, but not significantly enough that I was like...
But you didn't bring him in to replace Teoscar's bat. You brought him in to replace his defense, right?
So yeah, and I guess my
point... You in mind, you were going to take the hit on the offense, hoping and expecting that the other bats would make up for it.
That's true. And I guess my point is the drop-off in his hitting wasn't greater than the increase in defense you got.
But if you compare him to Lourdes Gurriel, then...
Yeah. Maybe that's right? The difference.
Maybe you're not comparing him to Teoscar. You compare him to Lourdes, because that's who he was traded for.
Okay, pulling up those numbers.
My guess is Gurriel will have a higher average, more hits, less home runs, less RBIs.
Gurriel is pretty much smack in the middle between 261 average, 24 home runs, 82 RBIs, and 144 hits.
So he was better than Varsho in every category.
Better than Varsho in every category, less than Teoscar in every category. So,
but then I guess that's how many
should have kept Gurriel.
Defensive runs saved, which is the reason he was brought in.
Yeah, if you look at the league leaders and the defensive runs saved this year,
I think Varsho was number one. Kiermaier was number Varsho. One.
Wow, Varsho was number one.
Yeah, total runs saved 29. Second was Tatis Jr. at 27. Third was Jimenez with 23. Kiermaier was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Wow.
With 18.
What an incredible outfield.
But that doesn't clearly didn't win championships. Didn't even get you past the first round.
But that's the thing that we were just yelling about at the beginning of the podcast. Like, giving up 0-2 runs should win you a fucking ball game. But I guess you can't have a whole team of Dalton Varsho and Kevin Kiermaier.
And Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
No, he's the same category.
That's true. Take away, what was it? What was
take away his month of, take away his month of April, and he had a horrible year.
Is Belt around?
Belt signed a one-year contract. I don't think he's coming back because he can't hit the fastball and all of the... Like, they should have pulled Belt in tonight's game as soon as they went to the bullpen.
I agree. When they pulled Kiermaier, I was like, but what about...
Belt can't hit a fastball above 95.
Alejandro Kirk is a really great both.
I like him.
I think I saw, because I am in my 30s, a TikTok video then when it went to Instagram, that Alejandro Kirk is the best defensive catcher in the league. In terms of blocked, like, wild pitches and saved runs.
He's so wide.
Because he's so wide of blocking those balls and the runs he saves by taking up the entire home plate.
I love the Kirk-Jansen split.
Was losing Jansen, do you think, a big part of this?
I think it was.
Oh, yeah, it hurt big time. Because he was, like,
that's
always
awesome. He's the opposite.
Clutch hitting.
Would you have put Schneider in the game at all?
No, he was... No. The last, like, 3 weeks, he's been ice cold.
Yeah. No, this is a good opportunity for him to experience the postseason roster. I think next year will be a good year for him. He had no place on the roster this year, though.
So who else on the Jays is on expiring contract? Do you guys know off the top of your head?
Kiermaier, Chapman, Belt.
So almost the rental players...
I can check quickly here.
There might be I think there's a pitcher.
Oh, well, yeah, one of
it's
the
Ryu's players. Last year.
Who's?
Ryu.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Poor guy.
That'll
really
free up a bunch of salary cap.
Yeah.
He might be back.
Or he'll go to Seattle.
He might go to Seattle.
Oh, no, he's Korean, isn't he? He's not Japanese.
He is Korean.
That's terrible of me. I'm so sorry. He might still like Seattle because it's on the West Coast. Any who's will be. I wrote a note of how awesome that they made the playoffs.
Woo.
So I guess in balance to the question I asked of my friend who texted, I wish they didn't even make the playoffs. As we have discussed many, many times on this podcast, would you rather be a fan of, like, I'm trying to think of a team. Jesus. I guess it's been a lot of parody lately. Name a baseball team that hasn't been very good. The Angels.
Tigers.
The Tigers. Angels as a... Well, the Tigers have won relatively recently.
Probably nothing happened.
15 years? 20?
When was the last time the Jays won?
Tigers haven't won a World Series at all. What are we talking about?
Didn't the Tigers win within the last 20 years?
With no, Verlander? They haven't won a World Series. No. They lost in the World Series.
Huh.
I think twice.
Okay, so let's say the Tigers. You are a fan of the Detroit Tigers. Would you rather be a fan of the Detroit Tigers or a team like the Blue Jays who have made the playoffs?
Blue Jays.
The last 5 years, 4 years?
I think three of the last four of the last five.
Or the Tigers.
Blue Jays. Because if I'm gonna actively participate and follow the team, I would rather have a higher chance at winning if I go to a game in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
than like if I had let's say the Jays even are a 500 team and I have a 50-50 shot of the Jays, seeing a Jays win in person, and the Tigers are like a 333 team and I have a 1-in-3 chance, I'd rather take the higher success.
Yeah,
and a team that will spend as well.
Yeah,
and like clearly for the Rays and the Astros, it worked to be really, really bad for a couple years in a row and get all those amazing draft picks. But I don't think I'd be willing, but like the Tigers haven't turned it around.
1984 was the Tigers' last World Series.
Kirk Gibson?
Yeah.
So yeah, they won the AL in 2012. AL Central title. Oh, because they fucking changed divisions. Stupid cheating Tigers. Why are they in the Central? That makes no sense. They're a 4-hour drive from Toronto. We should be in the same division. Mark,
they're more central than Toronto.
Mark, you agree? You'd rather be a fan of a team that makes the playoffs knowing they have no chance at winning the World Series?
Not that they have no chance. If that's guaranteed no chance, then no.
You'd rather them tank nation and blow up and then build for the future.
If you're telling me there's guaranteed that they won't win the World Series,
yeah,
but they just make the playoffs every year, then no.
Yeah, then I'd change my answer too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mark, did you look up who was on expiring contracts?
Yeah, it was actually everyone that we just said, pretty much. Jordan Hicks was the other big name.
We just got him. I actually think that'll be one that they want to re-sign.
Yeah, I would re-sign him too. Something about him seems cool.
Yeah, that 100-mile-per-hour fastball.
Yeah, I think that's constantly probably whiffing by you.
It moves so much.
Okay, I have football questions. Any other Blue Jays things we want to talk about now? We might probably sadly talk about it next week as we have had time to digest positives you are taking out from this, Dave.
Bo Bichette is your MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, positives?
That's about it.
The pitching staff.
Yeah.
Open,
yeah,
okay. And start rotation.
I have openly questioned some of the relief pitching throughout the year. The playoff period made me confident in the bullpen.
Yeah, whoever chose the playoff roster, I feel did a bang up job.
For pitching.
Hitting too. Like, who else were you gonna pick for hitting?
Spencer Horowitz.
Jewish major leaguer Spencer Horowitz. My positives are, I feel, and maybe I've just been friends with Mark for too long, I feel this is very Toronto Maple Leafs, and all of those pieces are there. You just need to give it, like, why would you break up this core? You have an incredible...
They're all signed right now.
Yeah. And like, it's with Leafs fans calling for Marner's head and trade Matthews.
First overall in our draft, Mitch Marner?
I did take Mitch Marner. And I'm very proud of my draft. I think I did a really good job.
What did the Yahoo grade you?
I didn't have my grade, but in whatever you sent, I was fourth.
I was last.
In that aggregate scoring? I think I had a pretty solid draft. I was too anxious to draft Connor Bedard first, to be honest.
Where do I find my grade?
Where do you find your grade?
You go to the main page. It should be on like the right-hand side. I'm going there right now too.
I'm just on my phone.
Oh, you don't see it on your phone.
That's so stupid.
I know.
This app is good for only making your roster changes.
Yeah, Yahoo, if you're listening, your fantasy app is good for only roster. Anything else, literally anything else, you need to use the desktop.
Doesn't get fantasy grade.
Mark, if you had the first overall pick, would you have taken Connor Bedard?
No.
No, because this year he's going to be okay.
Great. Thank you. I got a lot of shit for that. If you had been on the group Zoom call and the shit talking before and after,
you got a guy who's guaranteed to get close to 100 points and get a ton of power play points. What more could you ask?
Right.
And is still young enough that he has obviously cube ability.
Yeah.
And our buddy Fishbane, so I accidentally drafted a goalie when I didn't mean to. I had him in my queue and I clicked him by accident. So Tristan Jarry should not actually be on my team. And I mentioned that on Zoom, and Fishbane said, "Who did you mean to take?" And I said, and he was like, "Okay, I need a goalie. I'll draft him and we'll trade." I have completely forgotten who I wanted, and I really, really, really hope he remembers, because I know who I drafted by accident, and now I completely forget who I need to trade for.
I'm sure he remembers, because it sounded like he really, really wanted Jarry.
Yeah, because it was one of those, I think, because I said, oh, fuck, I didn't mean to draft a
Peter third. Angelo.
It was Peter Angelo. Thank you. Peter Angelo. Because I said, oh, fuck, I draft a third goalie, and Fishbane went, I don't have one yet. So I think that's me being angry about what happened. Mark, why didn't you join the Yahoo chat or the Zoom?
I didn't see the link, to be honest.
Damn it. I started a vicious rumor. So it was you and Brent that didn't join. Although Ray joined but stayed muted and off camera, so we had no idea why he bothered joining. I said you were just so serious about it. You didn't want our horseshit in the background.
I was literally just like combing through my spreadsheets, you know, jumping through different tabs to read up on sleepers and shit like that. So I was like all over the place.
You would not have contributed much if you had joined.
I had my spreadsheet going and I was an idiot.
I had no spreadsheet.
Someone's BlackBerry went off partway through. And I said, whose BlackBerry went off as a joke, and then Vinny, who is the oldest person in the league, held up his fucking BlackBerry and said, how did you recognize the sound?
My dad also has a BlackBerry.
I know, but your dad's in his 70s.
No, he's not.
Isn't he? I thought he was 70.
Nope.
Vinny could be. Vinny could be.
Vinny could. And move on.
Vinny is completely indeterminable age. If Vinny walked up to us and said, hey, I'm Vinny, I'm 30, I'd be like, that makes sense. If he said, I'm actually in my 80s, I'd be like, yep, believe that too. Okay. Football. Wait, can we very, very quickly talk about Trevor Bauer? Mark, do you want to talk about Trevor Bauer?
If we want to, sure.
Do we want to talk about Trevor Bauer? Because this story has gotten insane. So, no criminal case. But both lawsuits were now dropped. With no...
No money exchanged.
No money exchanged. It was just like, okay, bye. And Trevor Bauer has released a video saying, I can finally talk about this now. And he's posted some very questionable texts. With the asterisk that all of these can be faked incredibly easily. I just faked something with AI and an image for work today. Like, it was text saying, hey, look how much this guy is worth. I'm seeing him tonight. I'm gonna have sex with him. I'm gonna try and get some of his money, and then I'm gonna get daddy to choke me. Like, almost word for word. And then what I don't like is he posted a video that he found somehow of hers from the morning after, of her filming herself, filming him, filming herself, with the evidence of, hey, look, she seems super chill. Does this look like a person who is assaulted? So this is a horrific story. So I don't want to get too deep into it, aside from to say, please don't use how a woman behaves afterwards as evidence. Because that's really shitty, and then please don't, because then there are videos posted of her, like, drunk at concerts, her being a huge bitch. She obviously is a Trump Republican QAnon wackadoo. I also don't appreciate using a woman's character to discount any allegations. Do we see Trevor Bauer?
No.
In a major league uniform within the next 2 years?
No.
Mark?
I say a team will be desperate enough. If he's still good. If he's still putting up numbers in the Japanese league where he's at right now, some team will come calling.
Texas Rangers. Oh, and I don't know if you saw it, Dave, but Lorne dropped Deshaun Watson.
He's hurt.
I know. So we have a friend who is a known shit disturber in our fantasy football league. He drafted both Kareem Hunt and Deshaun Watson and then changed his name to, like, searching for rub and tugs and then sent it to me to ask, like, do you think this is funny? And I have completely ignored him weeks and weeks later. He has quietly dropped Deshaun Watson. Okay, so...
So you're saying if he could, he would have drafted Chandler Jones then as well?
Ew. So, Mark, you desperately wanted to talk about the Vikings-Chargers game.
Because it was such a stupid ending and never should have gotten to that point. Dave, Staley's a fucking idiot.
Dave, has it been long enough that you can talk about that game?
Which game?
The Vikings-Chargers game with that they could have won it in the end zone.
Why would I talk about that?
Because Mark has wanted to talk about this since I got pneumonia.
I just want to talk about Staley's, like, reckless coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah, no business doing what he did.
Something, was it not reminiscent of the Seahawks-Patriots?
What, the Super Bowl thing? Yeah.
Like, just hand it to Marshawn Lynch. Like, just fucking give it to someone who will walk it across the end zone.
Your quarterback is 6'6", just let him dive it.
Kirk Cousins is 6'6"?
Wrong quarterback.
Oh,
Justin Herbert.
Sorry. Wait, what are you talking about, Dave?
Brandon Staley going for it on 4th-and-1 and not converting it.
Yeah, on the instead of punting it. If he's going to go for it, yeah. Have your quarterback do a sneak.
What did you think?
I thought you wanted to talk about Kirk Cousins throwing the interception.
I didn't want to talk about any of this.
When he could have just handed it to someone who could have walked it across the goal line.
Ah.
I was very concerned that Kirk Cousins was 6'6".
No. 6'2"? 3 maybe.
A terribly mismanaged game. The Vikings just mismanaged it a little better or worse.
No, the Vikings were unlucky. That's why I was pissed.
Yeah.
And Mark, you sent stats. The Vikings are just incredibly unlucky, no?
Yeah. After being the luckiest team last year, it's like flip-flop this year. It's like karma made up for it.
Yeah, Mark had, I forget what the exact statistics were, but it was something like,
they went 11-0 last year and won.
No, but it was like bobbles that then turned into interceptions.
Yeah.
And the percentage that just, like, if it banked...
Oh, yeah, Rothman sent
it. If it got tipped right... Oh, it wasn't Mark then. Rothman sent it? Mm. If it tipped right, it would have been, you know, totally fine. But because the wind blew this way and it tipped left, it became an interception. How do you see the Vikings finishing this year?
They're still going to win the North.
Really?
Yeah. They haven't played any of the other six yet. So they're only two
which
games,
is weird.
They're only two games back in the division, and they haven't played the Lions, Packers, or Bears yet.
And they've been in every game. It's not like they've been blown out, except the first game. Wasn't the Bucks game?
They just lost to Tampa.
Yeah.
Every game has been one score.
How about them Bucks? Like, I hate the state of Florida, and I don't want anyone in that entire
you
state
like Baker,
to have
Mayfield.
Anything. I want Baker Mayfield to be successful.
Did you hear the story that just came out that when final cuts were announced, he took the entire O-line to the Bahamas for a round of golf and dinner?
What a good guy. Like, I just I know nothing about him other than he came in after Johnny Manziel with this cloud over him of, like, here we go again. And then was cast aside for someone who has 25 credible sexual assault allegations for him. And then he got, I feel he's like Geno Smithy. Like, he just got picked up by a different team.
He's
like,
a bit Geno Smithy.
Oh yeah, let's fucking go. Although Geno Smith toiled away for even longer. I'm also happy for Geno Smith, everybody. I'm very happy he's being successful. And Mark, my God, the 49ers. Just stop it. Just stop with all those pieces of gems. Can you guys tell me what the fuck is happening with my FanDuel $50, I get $5 every time they win a game, Bengals?
Joe Burrow calf. You should listen to Jamar and sat out the first 5 weeks because Jamar said he should wait till it's healed, come back week 5.
So he's hurt. This is all just Joe Burrow is hurt.
Yeah, the offensive line isn't good enough for him to be immobile.
I was going to say, because they have also a top-tier running back.
Who just doesn't, so they invested a ton in their offensive line, and they're just not performing, and if Joe Burrow was healthy, he could create more. But because
he's a statue back there.
Yeah.
A handsome, handsome statue. I just, I feel bad for them, I feel bad for the Vikings, because they have two of arguably the best receivers of this current era of football, who are just currently toiling away on 1-3 teams. With Jamar Chase.
But Jefferson's still getting his numbers.
And Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson's numbers are good.
But
yeah, the offense isn't the problem in Minnesota.
Who gives a shit about personal numbers if you're 1-3?
The offense isn't the problem.
I'm just saying, like, if I'm playing and I know I'm incredible and I'm playing at my best, and I'm on a team that's 1-3, I feel like you're wasting me.
Last year they went 12-5. Like,
but like they said, they're still playing football. They still play division games.
Who are they this week? So we were laughing about this in retrospect. So Dave and I, we talked about this. We like to travel on Canadian Thanksgiving to go see the Vikings. They are home again. And we could not face going to Minneapolis for a third time. No offense, you're a great city, Minneapolis, but you are a tiny city, and there is not a lot to do there. So
I'm in a big giant-ass mall.
It's not in Minneapolis. You have to have a car, or you're taking a very expensive cab or a very long subway. And at the end of the day, you've been there.
I've been there.
It's a mall.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about it.
David, there's a mini golf course in there.
It's not like the West Edmonton Mall that had a fucking water slide and roller coaster in it.
There's roller coasters in it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Huh.
It has a whole, like, amusement park in the middle.
It's just a mall, though.
With an amusement park in the middle.
Yeah.
But, like, still in Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah.
And it's not like they have cool stores that you don't have anywhere else.
They have a really nice Lego store.
But there's a Lego store at fucking Von Mills.
Yeah, but Von Mills doesn't have a roller coaster.
Von Mills has those donkeys you can ride around.
What?
They have the animals that kids can ride.
Oh, those are not real donkeys.
No. Got it. If it was a real donkey, we wouldn't be on this podcast. I would be at Von Mills waiting for it to open to ride the donkeys. It's those, like, mechanical ride 'em scooters.
The mini golf course in Mall of America is quite good. I play that.
Is it worth going back to Minneapolis?
No.
So anyways, we turned down going to Minneapolis.
Sorry, we turned down our family Thanksgiving tradition.
That's true, but we can go next year.
Is it a tradition anymore if you skip a year?
Anyways.
Oh.
So we were talking about what city do we go to, and we're like, is it worth spending that money if we're not seeing our team? Remind me, Asterix, of a second question that I have. We were like, oh my god, the Jays are playing Minnesota. We could have, and maybe there's still time to do like an extended weekend. How late would the Blue Jays play? Do we fly down? Whatever. And we were like, wouldn't it be awful, though, to go down and see the Jays lose? And then the Vikings are just playing the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that outcome...
Chiefs are not huge favorites in it.
Not going to be awesome.
It's only 5.5 points.
So I asked Dave a very real question, and Mark, I'll ask you the same one, although your team is very successful at the moment, so you'll have to pretend. The trip, flight, and hotel to Minnesota would have been, let's say, $1,000. And plus, for you. And plus a $200 ticket.
Oh, I see.
Would you go knowing you were seeing a dog shit product?
No.
And that's... I had to pause and ask Dave that really real, very real question. Because there are other weekends we can go, and maybe we still will. But we were still talking about going this weekend, and I said, Dave, look, it's going to be about $1,000 each, plus another $200 for the game tickets. Are you willing to spend that to more than likely watch them get annihilated? And your answer was yes.
Yeah.
They're still your team. Do we think Taylor Swift is going to be there?
Ooh, I hope so.
in Minnesota. There's a real difference between getting your girl squad to go out with you in New York, although that stadium is in New Jersey, versus getting your girl squad to go to Minneapolis with you.
But these are all people who can just fly in, fly out, yeah, just like that.
But it's Minneapolis, though.
That's okay. They fly in for the game and leave the right after on a jet plane.
It's a 4 o'clock game, though.
I'm really loving this Sophie Turner renaissance that's happening. How long are Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce staying together? Long enough for the Super Bowl?
The NFL needs to get in all those Swifties to...
This is driving up huge sales and numbers for the NFL.
I'm loving it.
Their viewership numbers are way up and their merchandise sales are way up.
I really...
You see that stat? It was the most watched Sunday game since the Super Bowl. Yeah.
I really hate leaning into the stereotype of girls don't know sports and, like, you know, go sports ball or whatever that... And every fucking year, and I will rant about this again during Super Bowl, when someone posts, I hear there's a big game happening, or someone posts something about the superb owl.
Yeah, the superb owl.
Yeah, we get it. You don't watch sports. Don't shit on me for watching sports. Anyways. I do like that there's again, in my 30s, Instagram trend of women telling their husbands, have you heard about this Travis Kelce guy? And, like, Taylor Swift is really putting him on the map. I think he's going to have a great career. And just watching the men be like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're just dying inside.
Just like, wait, what? Anyways, so are they staying together for the Super Bowl, Dave?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying are the Chiefs going to be in the Super Bowl. I'm saying...
Yeah. Yes, they will.
Mark, they're staying together?
Yeah. Maybe this Gotta mark the hell of this shit. Maybe this it's in the script.
Maybe this is catching Kelce. Maybe she's the one.
Did she catch him?
I need to see if I can find that show. And Fat Bachelor. Any other sporty things you guys wanted to yell about aside from Jimmy Butler's hair?
That was awesome. And the way he was talking...
He's a delightful troll. Very, to me, harmless and adorable. David? Any other sports news you wanted to yell about?
Who should I put my futures bet on to win the Stanley Cup?
I would lean towards either Carolina.
Yeah.
And possibly New Jersey if they can get their goaltending figured out.
Yeah.
Jersey's gonna be good. I think Ottawa's gonna be sneaky good.
I think Edmonton's gonna be the best in the West. But I don't know if they're...
It's the goaltending for me with those guys. Yep,
well, they gotta get their goaltending sorted out. Same thing with
Jersey, though.
No, but Jersey has... Like Vanecek is a solid goaltender. And so is Schmid. Skinner and Campbell are not good goaltenders.
Mm. No, Skinner's not good?
No.
Well, I have him, so I hope he's better than he was last year.
Did you see him in the playoffs last year?
I don't care about the playoffs in fantasy hockey.
No, I'm saying Tate.
Yeah, like, no.
Got off in the playoffs last year.
That's true.
But basketball, don't forget, we had two big trades.
Oh, yeah.
Lillard finally getting traded. Not to Miami, but to Milwaukee.
Yep.
And then out of that deal, Drew Holiday gets traded out and then gets traded again to the Celtics. So now the East is still stacked.
Yep. And Masai Ujiri's only comment from what I heard was him saying, like, it's an honor to have been mentioned.
Yeah.
It was essentially like, our name keeps coming up as potential trade partners because of our process and how good we are.
Yeah, they call every time to figure it out, and Portland wanted OG Anunoby, and that's the one untouchable player, apparently.
Well, and then it was the talking heads were really like, no, the Raptors wait for the perfect trade where there is no, the DeMar DeRozan Kawhi Leonard trade of like, there is no one on this planet that could argue that the Spurs came out on top on that.
No.
So, and
except that they somehow get Wembanyama.
Yeah.
But years later.
I'm sure that's a good point, Mark.
Well, they're saying the Raptors wait for that trade.
I'm sure the Raptors could have gotten Damian Lillard. They made the choice that it wasn't worth what they'd have to give up.
Well, yeah. And like, yes, maybe Damian Lillard would have helped you this year, but then 5 years from now, would people look back
still,
on it?
When you're still giving up your first round picks.
Yeah, like they are waiting for a trade where, you know, how long have we been since that trade? Probably 5 years?
4 years.
It was really awesome for the Raptors.
Yeah.
So Dave is walking away. So let's end this podcast. Twitter, although we don't tweet, Instagram, which is probably the best. And I think Chris occasionally still posts on TikTok. Yeah. And then you can wait for it to come to Instagram. But thanks for listening, everybody.